She messed up. She understood she was going to get punished for being messed up, but it wasn't the end of the world. Okay, she got punished for it. Now, it would have been totally different, right? If I'd have made that rule and she didn't show up for 3 hours. And then when I ask her, what happened? Well, I just decided I don't care about your rule. I just decided I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. At that point, the odds are she'd get to live her life the way she wanted to live it, but just not at my house. There's a big difference between accidentally sinning or sinning because of a silly mistake and out-and-out rebellion. If you know better and you don't do it, there's a huge difference there. Either way, God has to punish things. I had to punish Courtney out of justice, to show justice. God does the same thing for us, right? He did the same thing in the Old Testament. But that doesn't mean he's always looking to punish somebody. That's just not the way it is. There's a difference between grace and mercy for mistakes and with a small punishment for the sake of justice and total condemnation for outright rebellion. Have you ever heard a father say, or if you are a father, have you said, this is going to hurt me more than it does you when it comes to punishing your children? Now, I used to think that that was talking about the physical pain that was about to come. And I didn't understand how in the world dad using a board was going to hurt him more than it was going to hurt me. But as I became a father, I understood what he meant. The hurt wasn't physical pain. The hurt was, I made a rule and you broke it. And now I have to punish you for it. And that hurts me that you broke this rule. When I had to punish my children, I hated it. I would try and give them every chance to do right. In the end, if they didn't do right, they got punished. So it is with God. He loves his children so much that he did everything justice would allow to save them, to save us from ourselves. He created us in his image so he could have a relationship with us. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 28, it says, through 28, it says this. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, after our likeness, so they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth, and over all creatures that move on the earth. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every creature that moves on the ground. Before the fall, we get the idea that the Father had that relationship. That you get the idea that he would come down and walk with mankind. He made mankind in his image so he could have that personal relationship with us. And that's what he wanted. He created us for that purpose. He gave us free will because nobody wants companions by compulsion. I don't want my kids to come over and hang out with me, especially now that they're adults and they have their own free will. I don't want them to come over because they think they have to. I don't want to have to guilt them into coming home because they think they have to do it out of obligation. I want them to come home because they want to be there, because they want to spend time with dad. They want to spend time with mom. That's what we want, and that's what God wants. God wants us to spend time with him. Not because we're afraid to go to hell. Not because we're afraid we're going to be punished. But because we love him the way he loves us. That's the whole point. The relationship changed when Eve was tricked into eating the forbidden fruit. Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17 says this. And the Lord God commanded the man, you may freely eat of every tree of the orchard, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when you eat of it, you will surely die. He gave them this rule for their own good. Have you ever heard, have you ever read like instructions on something and thought, well, this is stupid. Who would do this? You ever read like on a shampoo bottle that says, do not ingest? What in the world? I had never thought, who in the world would ever eat shampoo? And then I hear to these kids eating Tide Pods. I guess there's rules for a reason, huh? So God had to make rules. There was a tree that they could eat from. Every tree in the garden, they could eat of the tree of life, all they wanted. But they couldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or they would surely die. Now, the word die means separation. When we physically die, our body and our spirit get separated, our soul gets separated. Now, here's a scripture that's always kind of, especially since I became, made my stomach tighten up a little bit, turn a little bit. In Genesis chapter 3, we see after she'd eaten this fruit, chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, we read this. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God moving about in the orchard at the breezy time of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the orchard. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? The man replied, I heard you moving in the orchard, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And the Lord God said, and this is the part right here that always makes my stomach tense up, who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Before this, they had no idea they were naked. They were totally innocent. They were like that little two-year-old kid running around the house naked because he doesn't know he's naked. He doesn't know there's anything wrong with it. And that's the way Adam and Eve were in the garden, and that's the way God wanted it. That's why he said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, some people say, well, why'd he even put the tree in the garden then? Free will. He put the tree in the garden for free will because he doesn't want them to love him by compulsion. He wants them to love him with their own free will. Now, as a father myself, I realize that is when it will hurt the father more than it hurts them because he's going to have to do something now that he didn't want to do. And ultimately, it turns out, in order to be reconciled, he's going to have to do something even worse. Now, at that point when they said, who told you you were naked? That's about the time, if God didn't already know everything, that's about the time it would trigger in his mind that, well, something's wrong here. One time, Dylan was about 4 years old, I'm guessing. And the rule was, you're not allowed to eat in your bedroom. Didn't know this rule was going to be broken. I had no idea. I was sitting in the living room, and I see Dylan walk from the kitchen into his bedroom, or start to walk into his bedroom. And as he does, I was going to ask him a question. And I see him do this. I got nothing. I didn't even know he had anything. Here he was sneaking something into his room, and I just happened to accidentally catch him. That's kind of like this, right? Who told you? Well, I was walking around. Any other time that God would ask them, you know, where you at? They wouldn't even normally have to ask him where they were at, probably. They'd just come. But this day, he can't find him. Where are you at? Well, I was hiding because I was naked. Wait a minute. Yesterday, you didn't know you were naked. Who told you you were naked? And then he knew, right? He probably already knew before that. But it hurt the father because in order for mankind to be reconciled to him, after they separated, after he kicked them out of the garden, after they died and were separated from God, there was only one way for mankind to be reconciled to him. It would be an incredible sacrifice. The sacrifice of his own son, who is with him from the beginning of time, through whom everything was made. Because of that mistake that separated mankind from God, the only way we could get back together was for him to sacrifice his son that not only had been there with him from the very beginning, but John says nothing that has been made without him. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. The Word was with God in the beginning. All things were created by Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Jesus was with God in the very beginning. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "Now the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We saw His glory, only full of grace and truth, who came from the Father." That's how we know it was Jesus that was with Him from the beginning. Through Jesus, the Father made it possible for us to be reconciled to Him. That's the only way we can be now, is through Christ. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11 says this, "But God demonstrates His own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, because we have now been declared righteous by His blood, we will be saved through Him from God's wrath. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, how much more, since we have been reconciled, will we be saved by His life? Not only this, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation." You see, God's not a God that's looking to condemn us. If He was looking to condemn us, right there was His action. Right there was His chance. If He was looking to be that evil God that's out to send everybody to hell, He loves His creation so much that even though we messed up big time, we have a chance at that relationship with Him again through the death of His Son. Think about that. We went against His wishes. We broke His rules. But we have an opportunity through His Son to have that relationship with Him again. We have that opportunity, if you will, to be naked again and not know it. If that makes any sense. John 3:16 says this, "For this is the way God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." God doesn't want to punish everybody. He's not out waiting for His opportunity to nail somebody. He loves us so much that He's extremely disappointed when we fail, but gives us every opportunity to come back from that. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you believe that He died to save you, then you'll be willing to repent, to turn your life around. Stop living for you and start living for Him. That's what He wants. Just like I want my kids to come home with their own free will, He wants us to stop living for ourselves and start living for Him. To repent. The word repent doesn't just mean to say I'm sorry. The word repent means to turn around, make a total change. Stop living and doing what you want to do and consider what He wants for you. Because like Rick said earlier in his class, when we were teenagers, we thought our parents didn't know anything. But later we learned that what they were doing was for our own best interest. And that's the way it is with God. It seems like sometimes He's being mean, but He just wants what's best for us. Luke 15 says, "In the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents." When you decide you're no longer going to do what you want to do, and you make the decision, and a life-changing decision, that you're going to live for Him, the angels rejoice. Once you decide to do that, once you decide to repent and turn around and start living your life for Christ, it'll cause you to tell everybody about the change in your life. It'll cause you to confess Him before everyone around you. Once you truly make that decision that I'm going to live for God, how can you not say anything to everybody around us? You'll want to tell the whole world. Matthew 10:32 says, whoever then acknowledges me before people, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. And that's who you want, right? That's your advocate. You want Christ to acknowledge you. And he says, if we acknowledge him, he'll acknowledge us. This is another one of my favorite scriptures. In Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, we read of Peter and John getting chastised for confessing Christ, for going around telling people about Christ. Verse 18 says, and they called them in and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, whether it is right before God to obey you rather than God, you decide. For it's impossible for us to speak, for us not to speak of what we have seen and heard. That's the way it should be in our lives, right? Once you believe that Jesus Christ died for you, and you turn your life around and want to start living for him, you'll be just like Peter and John. How can I not speak of it? How can I not tell you what Jesus did for me? How can I not tell you how I've been reconciled to God? And you'll want to please Christ in every way. When he says to be buried in water, to have your sins washed away, and to receive the Holy Spirit, you will be more than eager to do what he says to do. Just because he said to do it. Because you've turned your life around now. You want to do what he says. If you don't want to do what he says, you won't do it. Goes back to that whole rebellion thing, right? In Romans, Paul tells us this. Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may live a new life. When we come up out of that watery grave of baptism, that's the beginning of our new life with him. We wouldn't even have that opportunity if God was like people think he is. It doesn't sound like a God that's looking to punish you for every little thing, does it? He gave us a whole plan on how to get to him, how to be reconciled to him through his son, told us how to get into his son. At that point, then, you'll want to live your life for him and be faithful, even if it causes your death. You'll want to be faithful. We look at the examples that we see from the apostles in the New Testament. These are people who are punished, who are abused, who are tortured, but it didn't stop them from telling everybody about the Lord because they knew there was something better waiting for them. Now, does this sound like a God that's looking to punish people? Not when he gives us an opportunity like this. And you have that opportunity. Revelation 2:10 says this. Do not be afraid of the things you're about to suffer. The devil is about to have some of you thrown into prison so that you may be tested and you'll experience suffering for 10 days. Remain faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you a crown to life that is life itself. This doesn't sound like a father that wants to punish his creation. This doesn't sound like a father that wants to in any way attack them. Don't get me wrong. I've talked to a lot of people and I know that on this earth there are fathers that delight in punishing their children. Those aren't what I would categorize as a good, good father. Jesus, or God is a good, good father. Even when we disobeyed him, even when we went against it, the only rule they had in the garden was don't eat of that tree. And they did it anyway. He could have ended the whole thing right then and there. It would have been real easy if you're going to wipe out mankind to do it when there's only two people. But he didn't. Because he's not that kind of a father. guys can come on up now for the invitation. Our Father in heaven truly is a good, good Father.